week ago on Friday morning, when I witnessed a real-life Musa Shmuz in action. Now back up, on Friday morning, so it's the one morning that get to come a little later, we have off from Super Boco. And so there's a different cast of characters in my life, a different bus driver. And in this case, so there was a van driver, a tender driver, as they call him in this country, who decided to make a little trouble. This guy was driving a van, and he's waiting for a passenger, and he decides that the best place to sit and park and read his newspaper is right blocking the bus lane where the bus has to pull in to pick up the passengers, which is all well and good. He's sitting there and waiting until, you know, the bus driver comes. And those of you who are aware, I've spoken about it in the past, that the bus driver in this country is not a public servant, and a bus driver in this country is not a bus driver. A bus driver in this country is a king of the bus. And if you get in his way, it makes him very, very angry. And this bus driver came up behind the cab, and mind you, this is 6:30 in the morning, and he starts to honk. And the cab driver was just like ideologically opposed to moving at all. He's sitting there with his coffee and his newspaper, and he's not going anywhere. The bus driver sits down and leans on his horn, and it's just raucous noise there for about 2 minutes straight. He's just blaring his horn at this guy at 6:30 in the morning, and the van doesn't go anywhere. Finally, the people who want to get on the bus, like me, we all just go to a little island over there, so you won't go in the bus lane. Just let us on the bus and let's get out of here already. No, the bus driver won't do it. He has to get out of my way. We have to move. It was solved, finally, when the passenger came into the van, and the van just like looked back at the bus driver, probably stuck his tongue out at him, and then just pulled out. And the bus driver was really fixed because the bus driver had committed himself too much. He could no longer get into the bus lane, and he had to go to the traffic island anyway and pick us up all over there at the traffic island, and zehu. I got up on the bus, and I was literally laughing at the time. I walk onto the bus, and there's this akshanut b'li seichel, just total stubbornness without any brains. No brains. I mean, the van driver, he was stubborn and he was a Russia because, you know, you're not supposed to be there. But the bus driver, who cares already? Just let your passengers on, go on to the other side, and that's it. It will be over. That was a Musa Shmuz. I don't know if anybody can really learn anything from that van driver. He's just, like, not a nice person. But the bus driver, just getting in this mental frame that it's got to be done my way. And if it's not done my way, so then everything is going to fall apart. And I'm sorry, I'm waiting here until I get into my lane. I think that that's something that we can all somehow identify with a little bit. Things don't always go the way that we want. And sometimes we have to be a little bit flexible. And there's no better messenger to teach us that than a super bus driver or an egged bus driver. But more particularly in Yonenu, you have the persona in this week's Parsha, you have Paroi. Paroi is the man of stubbornness, Paroi is the man of inflexibility, and Paroi is like a mayfes l'dairus of what happens to you when you just can't change your mind. I say that a couple of years ago, I think it was Tavshanai Gimel, the people at Machon Yerushalayim gave me and a lot of other people a very big matana. They put out the sefer Nachlas Yaakov. Nachlas Yaakov is the sefer of the Nesivus' drushes. And I always say that, you know, the most geschmacked drushes, at least for me, are the ones that are written by the Lamdanim. So, for instance, I'm a gigantic fan. People know I'm a gigantic fan of the Hakadama of the Shari Yesher of Shimon Shkop. I think it's one of the greatest pieces ever written. It's awesome. The Beis Halevi is one of my favorite svarim in the world. And the Nachlas Yaakov is drushes. But everyone is more geschmack than the next. And Nachlas Yaakov is a great vart in the beginning of this week's parsha. He has a kasha, the obvious kasha that, I don't know, I don't think any of us really get to ask or think about it, but it's just so belate. Vayem Rashom Moshe Boyel Paroi, come go to Paroi. Why? Ki ani echbadeti es libo v'es lev avodav. Because I've made his heart hard as stone, his heart is like a liver. L'man shisi esoy sayela b'kirboi. Frek the Netzivus, that makes no sense whatsoever. What are you telling Moshe Rabbeinu to do? Go ahead and warn Paroi. Give Paroi hasra. Why? Ki ani echbarati es libay. Because I made it impossible for him to change his mind. So go warn him, because he can't change his mind. Ask the Nesivus, whenever you go and give somebody hasra, you're giving somebody hasra so that they can change their mind. Going and warning somebody, you're going to go give a wall a warning, you're going to give a stone a warning, it's pointless. Yet, that's exactly what the Pasuk says. Go and talk to Paroi, go and warn Paroi, ki ani echbarati es libo v'es lev avodav, that he can't listen to you anymore. So some Rishonim say that Paroi really could have listened. Echbarati just means that he made him supernaturally insensitive, so that his Bechira was not on the level of another person. But he still had a chance. We saw the Rambam last week and said it was impossible. He couldn't. So what are you warning a stone for? So the Nesivus answers it on two levels. He says that the Iker Hasra was not to give Paro a chance to change his mind, because he couldn't. The Iker Hasra was because without a Hasra, so it's a lot weaker of a deal. People will say, you know, maybe it happened by itself. But when Moshe goes in and says to Paro and says to everybody that this is what's going to happen right now, Makas Arbe, and then it happens, so it's bolate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running the show. What do you do with the lashon of ki ani echbadeti es libay, that I'm telling you to warn him because he's stubborn? Says the Nesivus, take a look at the Ibn Ezra, the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach. Over there you have another one of these strange things. V'loi nocham elikim derech eretz plishtim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't lead Klal Yisrael through the land of plishtim. Why? Ki karayfu. Because it's short. That's backwards. You go the shortest way. So Rashi says, because he didn't want him to go back. The Ibn Ezra says, no. Ki doesn't mean because. Ki sometimes means afalpi, even though. Even though it was the shortest way, he still did not take them derech eretz plishtim. And so too says the Nesivus, that's the pshat in the pasuk by us. Because even though I was machbit his heart, he can't change his mind. Still, I want you to go to him so that I'm going to show all of my wonders, and they're going to have no choice but to agree that it was a Maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the pshat according to the Nesivus. What's the problem? The problem is, you take a look at the Targum. How does the Targum translate ki? Aray. How does Targum Yonason do it? It doesn't say aray, but another word which is grammatically related. Also, it means because. Rashi says nothing. Even the Ibn Ezra, who is Mechadesh for us, the ki can sometimes mean afalpi. He doesn't say it over here. So apparently what we're left is saying the impossible. That why did Hashem tell Moshe Boyel Paroi to go warn Paroi? Why? Ki ani echbarati es libay. Because part of the meifes is, I want you to warn this person who I know cannot change his mind. Somehow we're going to make a point out of that. There's going to be a message in you warning this stone who can't change his mind. What kind of a message is that? Apparently Paroi is going to be a meifes. Apparently, Paroi is going to be a similar deris. It's something that we're going to have to learn from it. In these days, during Night Seder, so I'm working on a particular project with my son. Very enjoyable for me. He's sort of like teaching it to me. But a lot of interesting... Basically, we're working on certain confused concepts. there are certain concepts which people take two concepts, which are really different concepts, they mush them into one concept. So for instance, there's an event and there's a story. An event is objective. Something happened, there were certain things that happened factually, and then there's the story that in my imagination is pretty crazy, I take all of those events and I make up a story. Now, the two of them have an overlap, but the event does not necessarily have to be the real story that you are telling. My story and your story are different. Sort of like a pshat in the Gemara, you know? There's the Gemara, and then there's the pshat. My pshat is different than your pshat, and today's different than Rashi's pshat. Another one. Acceptance and approval. I have this guy, you know, whatever it is, my friend, or he's my sheer, he's whatever it is, and he's doing like these really terrible things, okay? He's just like not a nice person, yeah? So do I approve of his behavior? No, I don't approve of his behavior. Does that mean that I can't accept him? So listen, this is the way that he is, you know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this, you know, this matzav in life. I don't know if I was in his shoes, if I would have been any different. And therefore, I'm not going to hate him as a human being. I can accept him. I can appreciate where he's coming from. And hopefully, I'll give him a chance to change. Hopefully, I can encourage him to change. But people think that if you don't approve of somebody, then you can't possibly accept him. And if you accept him, that means that you approve what he's doing. You're wrong. It's not true. Different concepts. And you do enough of these, you start to think of it on your own. So I came up with another one I'd like to share with you today. Organization and rigidity. People think, you know, whatever it is, if something's organized, it's necessarily rigid. And if you're rigid, so then you're organized. I remember when I was a kid, so whatever. My mother comes from a very established Yekesha family, German Jews, very proud of, you know, where they came from, and the Maram Rutenberg and the Rush and all the other people, you know, in their village and etc. So I always grew up thinking that the term to be a Yekka was like a good thing. Why? Because, you know, the Germans, they're organized, they get things done, they keep to a timetable. It's good. I came to Eretz Yisrael and I realized that to be a Yekka means that you're like this square guy who's just rigid beyond belief. And, you know, you make your organization into a fault because, like, you can't move. You're just too sharp around the edges. It's impossible. The people confuse those two concepts. Organization is a good thing. If you're not organized, if you don't have it together, you don't have a system, you don't have a timetable, you don't get anything done in life. But if you're rigid, oh boy, you got to be flexible. And there's no stira. You should be able to be flexible and yet, at the same time, to be organized. But when organization turns into inflexibility, that it's got to be my way or the highway, so then you're in deep, deep trouble. Who's the Mayface? Who's the prototype? Who's the one that we can point to in history, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a person that we can look at and that we can see, if a person cannot change his mind and he does it enough times that he loses the ability to change his mind, then you just end up being a sick punching bag for everybody. That's Paray. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paray now. Just like Paray losing his Bechira is going to enable me to do Mefsim on top of Mefsim on top of Mefsim, and you're going to see what I'm capable of doing. The fact that Paray lost his Bechira is now going to give me the ability to make Paro look so silly and stupid that people will see what happens when a person cannot change his mind. Come, Paray, let Bnei Yisrael go out for 3 days. It's all over. You won't get Arbe, you won't get Cheshech, no Makas Becheris. No, won't do it. Why? Because I said. Because I want them here. I don't want them to go out. Does it make any sense? You're killing yourself. You're killing your children. Your whole country is going to be ravaged, destroyed, killed. What are you, stupid? What are you, a fool? Stubborn. Akshanut b'li seichel. Stubborn to the point where the mind shuts off. Why? Because that's the way that it has to be. I remember back in the old days, I used to go on a particular avreichim tender. And I called it the Stonemobile, because the person who was in charge of it, he decided that we're leaving at 9 o'clock and that's it. And it doesn't matter if there's an avrech or two avrechim running to try to get the tender, we're pulling out. So if you were him, fine. But if you know you're like me and you're like 30 seconds later, 2 minutes later, whatever, and they pull out in your face, it doesn't create very good feelings. So no, that's the way people have to live up to a schedule. You know, so if you're so worried about it, so then make it 5 minutes earlier if you really have to leave 5 o'clock, and don't be so sharp around the edges. No, that's the way it has to be. Obstinate, rigid, relax. Be organized. It's got to make sure that you leave around 9 o'clock. Flex a little bit. Back and forth. And that way, it doesn't bother you so much. When I said talking to people today, you know, organization a great skill. I had so much, so much I know last week, one of my kids came back home. They took a look at their notebook, and let's just say that it's a child who I can't say that I'm sure that the notebook always looked like this. They're running here and jumping there and everything like that, and mamish, you know, lots of energy and all over the place. But mamish, organized. The organization is a great trait. But organization, you can't take it too far. You can't be so rigid. You can't say, no, I said like this, and then I can't do the other way. My chavrusa says this, I can't go over to him. I have one sister-in-law, I'll finish with this. I remember at her vart, she's making a chasanas now. So just thinking about it as I was putting this together, one of the things they said about her at her vart, it was such great praise, is that so-and-so knows how to roll with the punches. You know, in life, things don't always go the way that you want them to. I promise you, it really doesn't. I mean, look, we're sitting in a room over here. You got water dripping out of the ceiling. Burst pipe above us. It doesn't always, you know, whatever. That's the way that it goes. You know, you put down a pail here. You put down a pail there. You come in. You don't have any place else to go. And you give a shear. And hopefully people are still listening to me. By the way, anybody hears this on the Ner Michal website? We're in the business. We need a new plumbing system above our shir room. You can make your checks payable to Yeshivas Torah's Moshe and tell them that I sent you. Okay, no. But until that happens, we're here in the room. It's raining, the tropical rainforest, but it's geschmack. You roll with the punches. No matter what happens, you know how to roll with the punches. You're flexible, be organized, but be flexible. So everything comes out gold. But who's the mayface who tells you what happens? If you're inflexible, if you're stubborn, that's Paro. And after Paro, you have the Egged bus driver. Don't be like any of them. Be a flexible person, and you'll accomplish a lot in anything that you do in life, even if it's not the way that you planned it on in the first place. Have a good Shabbos.